Oh, has to every time. It must be a legal thing for analysis every time. Okay. The title of the class is Put Some Heart Into It. Loving Hashem. So yes. So I picked up a USB that was of Shishan Pincus. I don't know if your mother sells them. And I happen to learn a lot of Shishan stuff. I always love listening to him. He used to be a tape gemach in Lakewood when I was there. And there was a big, big demand for Pincus stuff. It's the glass, the
right.
Color glass.
Like
yeah. Yep. Yep. That's my European background, my European upbringing. So, so the problem, I mean, not a problem, but I have a very fancy 2005 car I'm very proud of because it has a USB that I could put a USB in so I could listen to the sherm, which is great. The problem is I actually just renamed a lot of them because it's the screen is not big enough, so you kind of have to guess like what you're playing. So I was trying to get something for Hanukkah, and something popped up, and I thought it was Hanukkah, but it wasn't Hanukkah, but it was as appropriate as could be. It was titled "What Hashem Wants," basically from the last generation before Mashiach. So I'm like, this is appropriate, but it's like literally. It's like, I think there's 70, it's like over, I don't know, it's like 35 to 60 sherm on there. And literally, I just pressed like one thing and got to it. And I actually met your father, Robert Joseph, and I was telling him about it because I think it's unbelievable share. So I want to share with you. It has to do with this week's Parsha, this coming up week's Parsha, last week's Parsha too. And it's as timely as you possibly can get. So, let's start off like this. It starts off with an interesting observation slash question, which is that the halacha is when it comes to Kiddush HaChodesh, especially establishing a calendar, we have a Shani Kippur, we have certain days that we are, Kippur can never fall out. When Kippur can fall out, Shani can fall out, then your Kippur will not fall out. And there's many reasons for it, why that day shouldn't be. But it's interesting to note, one of the reasons why Rosh Hashanah has to fall out a certain time is Rosh Hashanah has to fall out at a certain time is because you have to make sure that Rosh Hashanah Rabbah is not. I put that behind you. Yeah. Hashanah Rabbah is never on a Shabbos. So of all things, Hashanah Rabbah not being on Shabbos, it's actually a lot of Rosh Hashanah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, like this year. Look what happened. First day of Rosh Hashanah was on Shabbos. First day Sukkot was on Shabbos. That's okay.
Right.
But make sure not to have a Shana Rabbah on Shabbos. Why? Because we have to make sure to be able to do the minhag of hitting the Rabbah five times. Right? Whacking the Rabbah, as they say. And picking up the Rabbah.
I used to teach my class that for Rosh Hashanah, you can learn it Lo Adu Rosh.
Yeah.
Lo Adu Rosh. It can't be on Aleph, Dalet, or Bah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So the astounding thing is that for a deraisa, right, not having shofar blown on Shabbat, even though it's the bundle of why we don't do it, but the Chazal did not make sure that we wouldn't miss shofar blowing. The Chazal didn't make sure that we wouldn't miss lulav blowing, a lulav shaking lulav. But it made sure that we should do the Hashanah Rabbah, which is quite fascinating. The other thing that has been bothering me ever since this happened. I think this is kind of the messaging, the answering to this, is that so from Hashanah Rabbah on, you have Hashanah Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah. There's no mitzvah on any of those. There's no chiv, there's no lulav, there's no shofar, there's no mitzvah d'oraisa. And it's really the start of a new season, if you think about it. You have Pesach, Shavuos. Shavuos doesn't have a mitzvah either. Pesach, Shavuos. Hello. How are you?
I'm
turning the wrong
way. It's okay.
That's all right.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Okay.
Hello. Aliza.
Aliza? Yes.
Nice to meet you. Rabbi Heyman.
Hi,
you can sit there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
You met my wife, I met.
Yes, I did. She invited me.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm not sure about that chair. Let me know if it's too rocky.
Okay, let's see.
Are you okay with it?
It's a little rocky, but we'll see. Maybe if I go a little closer to you. Okay.
Yeah, we have new chairs. I think we should get from the new chairs. As new collection. Okay. So the question is that we're talking about is that we have a system of Pesach, Shavuos, Bashana, Yom Kippur, all have mitzvahs, like mitzvah d'oraisas, and sukkahs, right? You have to eat in a sukkah, you have to shake a lulav and everything. And then you have what you have the second half of the year, which starts really with Hashanah Rabbah, which is a minhag, followed by Simchas Torah, which is all based on customs to dance with the Sefer Torah, followed by, we'll get into soon, obviously why it's timely today, Chanukah and Purim. They're all not Torah commandments, they're all minhag and all customs. So what's that balance? The other thing that we're saying is that, which could be very bothersome, is that we know that Simchas Torah is one of the most special days of the year. Why? Because it's God saying to the Jewish people, I want to be just you and me together in a place. And we're going to dance together. We're going to sing a Suda Katana, the Medrash says, a small feast for just me and you. And it's an intimate expression of love. Now, we know that this past year on Simchas Torah was a pretty bad day. It was a pretty terrible day. So why would it be on that day that Hashem sent maybe the messaging that we need to get on that day to have such a horrible day? So I'm not really going to answer why the bad thing happened, but I think that there's a lesson in this which is very powerful, very important in understanding the relationship between us and Hashem. So right off the bat, it's like this. It's let's talk about relationships for a second. If our relationships are built upon rules and laws, right? You take out the garbage on Tuesday and I take it out on Wednesday, you know, you cook the food or I cook the food and you put the kids to bed. If the whole relationship is built on mitzvah, the laws, it's not a very strong, healthy, loving relationship. So the difference between mitzvahs and minhag, custom, minhag means hanhaga, means how you act around the person, right? How I show my expression of what's my relationship with the person. So, you know, in a relationship, the true expression of what you care about the person is not that you, I mean, of course you have to have this, you know, respect your boundaries, your roommates or whatever, but more so is when you recognize that there's a certain thing the way they like it and you do that for them or you respect, they don't like the lights on in the morning, right? And your roommate, so you don't flip on the lights, right? There's no halacha about turning on lights and not turning on lights in the morning. Although there've been many yeshiva guys who brought their friends that didn't turn on them, but there's no real way, judgment on that. But you really can't. But there's limited halachas, meaning like in a cold winter day, you can force you can't say I want the windows open. But as a whole, interrelationships are not based on law. The moment you need to write down laws, it kind of sounds like the relationship is going the wrong way. It's kind of like right each other day. So, the difference between the cycle of year, which happens basically in the springtime through summertime to winter, versus the winter, the darkness of the winter, is the difference between Hashem is giving very clear as day, what is your obligation in the relationship, right? And you have to fix it up. We'll talk about that and stuff and everything. But then we're going into like the dark waters, the murky waters, but it's not as clear. Nighttime, the wintertime. And that is what's God's expectation in the relationship of a relationship of love. And that's what's called, So it's true that we might not push off we might not push off the calendar so that we could make sure that we could blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. If it falls on Shabbos, we don't do that. That's true. But we're going to for sure make sure that the minhagim that are always going to be, that are going to be unbreakable. And that's, and what we see here, what we're entering now is what we call in David HaMelech's term, L'hagiva Beker Chastecha V'Menasla Balelos. Right? L'hagiva Beker Chastecha is very clear. It tells you in the morning, your chesed. It tells you what you got to do, kindness and everything. V'Menasla Balelos is at night, you have to have a muna. You have to have a faith in the relationship. Right? The breakdown of relationship is when people don't trust each other in relationships. Right? It's not that very few relationships are broken based on violations of prearranged, prearranged halachic or legal things. When we lost the trust, when we lost the emotional support, the trust of the person that we are close to, that's what happened. So Hashem reminds us, and we live in a world with Baruch Hashem. This is all our opinions, by the way, saying this, it's not me. But we live in a world of, we already went through a lot of stuff as Jewish people. It's very clear. And, people in the 1700s died, not to be converted by the Crusades, or even before that, the Spanish Inquisition, World War II. We had a lot of bad things, and almost every one of those things were something that had to do with, like, making sure that the Jewish people survived. Like, that, are you going to be religious, not religious? But we live in America, and thank God, and we've had as a whole, and the religious world as a whole, since World War II, our issue is not mitzvah observance, but we have the nice lulav. We make sure that we're making kiddush on cups of wine that the Baal Shem Tov or the Vilna Gaon never dreamed of doing because he didn't have that much wine, right? We have better matzahs than people of 200 years ago, right? Our Lashon Hara campaigns and our sneeze campaigns and our mitzvah observations are pretty strong. It's quite clear. I mean, if you look around the world and as a whole, Shiva's as strong as they've ever been. The Reisakos are the strongest they've ever been. But the question is that you have to ask yourself is, what's our hanhaga? What's our interaction with Hashem? Where's our heart? Where's our lev at? Where's our, where are people loving their relationship with God? Are the people loving, are they proud of the relationship with God? Are people loving their interactions, right? So we have this dynamic, which is that we have what's called mitzvahs observance and relationships. And the relationship with God, God's asking us for something very interesting. God's saying, it's very nice, I got you. I'm going to we'll explain to Zohar in a minute about how it works with the fixing up. It's very cool with Yitzhak and Yaakov. But God's asking us, where's the relationship at? Where is your strength as a Jewish people? Where's your, I want to say it this way, where's your feminine side of the relationship? Right? Feminine, in essence, someone that understands is way more emotionally than a male, right? And so therefore, it's very fascinating, actually, because right now, tonight, is Tesvav Kislev. So Tesvav Kislev is important. Why? Because we know Kislev is the first month of the winter, deep winter. We know we're going to head into Hanukkah with the lights, right? That which we'll get to in a minute, what the light is about Hanukkah. But so what's Tesvav? So Kislev itself is, Kis is a hidden Lamed Vav, the 36. Lamed Vav is 36. There are 36 hours of what's called a light, hidden light, that was hidden for Tzadikim when they learned Torah, and for the Jewish people in the time of Mashiach. And those are the 36 candles of the Chanukah, right? That we light 36 candles. And that's Kis Lamed Vav, is that there's this hidden light that comes out. So we're not looking for the outward, how I act, looking for what's inside of us, what's burning bright inside of us, what's pumping within us. And so the middle of the month always is the when the Lavana, the moon, is at its fullest. So it's if the Jewish people, which the Jewish people are always compared to the moon, or not, we go by the moon cycle. That's actually one of the things that the Hashmonaim had to fight for. The Greeks wanted to destroy the concept of Rosh Chodesh being on the moon, right? And we say, no, our relationship with God is that we are the receiving end of his blessings. So therefore, we act like a moon. So in Kislev, Tezvav, which is tonight, literally, and is the most opportune time to re-engage relationship, to re-receive the goodness and the great and the kindness of Hashem. So I looked at that and I said, you know, no one else wants to have an October 7th. But I also looked at it and I said, if what came out of that, and we'll see, it's quite amazing, is a where I think people actually have to really decide if their actions as Jews were equal to their what they felt in their heart. And thank God, I think the Jewish people have, I believe, have responded in a way where when push comes to shove, right, their heart screams loud as a Jew. Their heart screams loud as a believing Jew, as a, you know, Tefillah, I said last week, I think it's amazing, I saw a soldier who sadly got his leg shot off, he lost his leg, and coming out of the hospital, he said, I am now going to become Shomer Shabbat and keep Shabbos, and I'm going to put on Tefillin every day. Right? It's easier to do it before you get the leg shot off, and it's even harder sometimes to do that. So where's our heart at? So Simchas Torah is the when you dance, I always say the people that are connected to the people that are alive as Yidden love Simchas Torah. So it's a great holiday, right? And they like Hanukkah, they like Purim, right? It's because that's where our relationship lies. So I want to go through a thing that we all know, but it's I'm put in a little bit of a different terms, which I think is quite amazing. We know that Yitzchak wanted to give brachas to Esav. Rivka told Yaakov, go make sure to get the brachas. And Esav and Yaakov got the brachas. He stole the brachas, it's last week's parasha. And Esav and ran out. And Esav came in and was very angry. He wanted to kill Yaakov. And then Esav said, I'm going to kill Yaakov. Until Esav ended up, right in this week's parsha coming, he comes with 400 men. And he's going to go and attack Yaakov. And what does Yaakov do? Yaakov sends him presents. So, and that for that moment, that's presents overwhelm Esav, where he actually kisses Yaakov. And there's a brotherly love that maybe only exists at one point, at that point. And they go on the way. So the Zohar actually says a very fascinating thing. He says that Yitzhak, we know, represents Din, judgment. Yitzhak is, on Rosh Hashanah, we all get judged. So what's going on here is that Yitzhak tells Esav, Yitzhak being the judgment, tells Esav, you go out in the world and gather all the Averis, all of the Jewish Averis, and bring them to me, because I have to do judgment. But while he's out, Yaakov, Rivka tells Yaakov, you gotta do something quick here. So Yaakov comes in and he blows shofar, or the call of Yaakov, right? We say the Shema, call shofar. He said, listen, we hear the voice of the shofar, right? Because Yaakov called Yaakov. Yaakov comes and he blows the shofar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Lets us off, and then he leaves. But now Esav comes, and he's quite upset about it. Rightfully so. Esav is, he said, what's going on here? They deserve death. They haven't been good this year. Why are you giving them life? So what we do is we give Esav a matana. We give him a present. What's the matana? And on Yom Kippur, we have two goats. Almost every year since then, because I like his little pun at that. But he said that, you know, you have two goats, imagine they're sitting there, and they have exactly the same, I don't know if they're twins, but they have to look the same height, same weight, same everything. And they pick one goat is Lashem, and the one's Lazazel. And the Lashem one immediately gets slaughtered, gets thrown onto the base of mid, based on the Mizbeach, and you know, gets offered up. So the Lazazel goes, well, goes like, whoo, shoo, I avoided that one. Gee. And it gets even better because they start walking him up and they're showing him the view and everything, and they're giving him food and everything. And he's liking the life that he likes. And he's enjoying it. And all he can think about, like, well, thank God, I survived that one. And he keeps walking, and now they're bringing him up to beautiful scenery and everything. He's loving every minute of it. But when push comes to shove, he said, is that anything too good, right? Because he gets ripped apart as he gets thrown down the mountain. And my Rebbe said that the analogy is that sometimes we look at our life and we sacrifice ourselves for God, and people say, oh, Nebuch, oh, you. Oh, but the truth is that person is Lashem. He's to God. He's for God. And you give up on things and give up life. And that's us as a Jew. But the Lazazel, right, is going around life without any God. And he thinks he's living a good life, right? And he's attracted to all the worldly things out there. But at the end of the day, when it comes, push comes to shove, right, he loses out big time. And so what we do is that goat somehow is a present to Esau. Now, what does it mean a present? Because this is an important point that we have to kind of figure out. All right. Now, think about it. It's a good question. You have the person you can never get a gift for because, you know, like, what are you supposed to get for them to have everything? So Esau has a different problem. What are you going to give them? You know, it's like, Pincus tells the story that there was a group of, he was building this yeshiva, and he had a bunch of cement. And there were supposed to be people to cement the roof. And the people dropped off the cement, and they're standing there waiting. And for some reason, they didn't show up. So the Panach of Rosh felt very bad. They're going to waste the whole day, right? So he said, you know what? I want to pay you for this today because you came special out here. So why did you do this? Why do you go to my base managers and just say to him, for 8 hours, you say to him, and I'll pay you like you'd be paid for what you're doing now. And they walked in and for 50 minutes, and then like 50 minutes, they're like, we rather carry the heavy thing. We can't do till more than 50 minutes or too long. Why? They weren't connected to learning. They weren't connected to me. So what are you going to do? You can tell Esau, look, here, I gave you a black gemara. I did a chesed kindness. Now, listen, he doesn't appreciate that. And so what does he like? He likes all the terrible things of the world. He has that. That's him. He got that. So what are you going to give him? So we give him an interesting thing. We give him a seir. We give him a goat. It's the same goat that we have. And this is where I think the crux of how you show if you love someone or not, right, is not if I fulfill my obligations or not. It's on the gray area, on the things that are not so clear, right? How am I going to spend my time, right? If I have an opportunity to spend my day doing God's work, or I'm doing something that's not godly, it's not bad, it's not negative. The things they talk about here, which he was talking about. By the way, I should have said this before. Pincus gave this class, but Pincus was sadly killed in a car crash 22 years ago. So this class he gave it like 25 years ago when I think the first intifada happened. He's talking about Arabs. He talks about Arabs and he talks about the situation. He says because what he's saying is that don't talk, you know, politics, people have to, you know, the things that are technically kosher, but don't get you anywhere closer, right? I don't know if you ever had this relationship where you could do nothing wrong. I didn't do anything wrong, right? But you know you're rubbing the person the wrong way by doing it, right? So, you know, it's kosher, right? But that doesn't show that you care about the relationship. So our present day Esav is this year. And the present says, look here, you take it. You take all the various, all the middle things. We don't want them. But that's hard. But that's I think where we as Yidden are, especially in the Orthodox world, we have everything kosher now. Right, it's everything is kosher. right? We have kosher movies. We have kosher. He's saying 22 years ago, he was like, he was calling. He's like, soon there's gonna be kosher movies with ratings and everything. And like, and he's right. And again, I'm not saying it's all wrong. We should know what we're expressing when we do these things. What's our expression? Minug, right? Lighting a candle in the dark, right? It's the same expression of love. Now, one of the main things that if we're talking about relationships, we have two types of relationship. A relationship, ben alam l'chavera, between man and man, and ben alam l'makam, between man and God. And I think a lot of people get this wrong, especially in this context. Ben alam l'chavera means, ben alam l'chavera means between man and man is that I don't mistreat another person. But, and we think that that's true because a relationship between him and us. We, you know, that's what social construct or social condition, you know, social behaviors are alike. It's more than that. When you mistreat a person, what you're saying is you don't value that he's a person of God. He's not that he's a son of God. He's an image of God. So, but the Hafta Lerech Kamocha, one of the most famous lines in Torah, love your fellow man like yourself. Rashi in commentary, Lerecha says, Lerecha, who's Lerecha? Hashem. Love Hashem like yourself. And then what? The other way around too is true, right? But how does Hashem, loving Hashem means that I treat the person like a person that is connected to God. So it's Adonai Kamocha means love your fellow man because love like Hashem, like it's Hashem, and love your fellow man because he connected to God. They can't be separated. They're not, and there's no separation here. So our relationship that we're talking about here, which is called Hanhaga, Minog, is a relationship of love. So now, we get to Hanukkah, which is great, great. So now, this week's parasha, we know that Yaakov goes back for what's called Pachim Katanim, small vessels. And Pachim Katanim are small vessels they left on the side of the road. Now, Pach, what happens? Because he went back for Pachim, or Pechof, right? He then is wrestling with an angel. You know that's Esav, Esav's angel. And he gets hit in his Kaf. So Chof Pe. So we have Pach and Kaf. Right? It's the same word, just flip. Pach are vessels, Kaf is the thigh. And what happens is, as we know, because the rabbis tell us, that the Pach and Ketanim were, is what this represents is the what's going to be the Nes of Chanukah, the miracle of Chanukah. Because we know that there was a small little oil that was found. And what was the reason why the Nes happened? Was because they only had a little amount of oil, but they wanted so badly to do the mitzvah. They actually luckily could have even used impure oil, but they wanted to be pure with their first connection back to God. They lit it and it lasted 5 days. Now there's something this from a relationship standpoint. When you have a relationship, the true test of relationship is when you mess up. Or you get the real fight. And when you work it through, right, and you are back on that, that moment of working it through and still choosing to continue the relationship or showing a sign that you want to continue the relationship is a very powerful thing of love. So the Jewish people at the time of Hanukkah story, not doing too well. There were 15 Jews at most that stood up for the violation of the Greeks, who were just completely destroying all the moral fabric of Jewish people. They knocked up bris. Many of the Josephus writes about what they were doing, what the men were doing to try to cuff up the bris. There was immorality. There was idol worship. It was not a good look for Jewish people, and the Greeks attacked them for that, and the Jewish Hashmonaim fought for it, and they won. But it was a fractured relationship with God at that moment. So, but they, which they were fixing up. And at that moment, there was a real question. Well, do we have relationships still with God? So what happened? When they lit that menorah, when they did that lighting, and God said, I got this. You got 9, you got 8 days, right? You got 8 more days out of this oil. That was a message from God that says, we're still in a relationship. And a tremendous love. That's why Hanukkah is so powerful for us. Because Hanukkah is the messaging that there's always light in this world. There's always going to be the lights, the 36 lights. There's always going to be righteous people. There's always going to be a connection with God. There's always a hidden light. Like we say about the Jewish people, even the ones that went far off and God went off, you know, went completely off the derech and don't keep any Torah mitzvahs, they always have still the pintle yit. They still have that pintle, the light in them. What's the light? The light in the soul. They always have. And that's the miracle of Hanukkah is that no matter how much we stray, and sometimes God has to do harsh stuff to get us back on track, but what the message always is going to be is that God, that we're connected at the source and the light. And it's amazing that if you follow the history of things, at the biggest tragedies to Jewish people, the outcome of that is tremendous, tremendous spiritual growth. Right? The Holocaust was probably one of the most terrible things that ever happened to Jewish people. But there's never been a time in the last, besides Eretz Yisrael being, besides America, the amount of Jews are learning Torah, the amount of mitzvahs. So when we reconnect, it's not that we ignore the mitzvah part of things, the laws of the Chas V'Shalom, but when we get back on track in our relationship with God, then the mitzvahs take on a huge extra of growth, and then we have tremendous growth, and that's what happened after the Holocaust, and that's what happened now. The last 2 months, the amount of people that accept the mitzvahs and doing mitzvahs and stuff. And the light onto the nation is amazing. So, yeah, Yaakov fights with the Malach, and he gets hit in his thigh, right? And he gets knocked out. What's the thigh? The thigh is the place which we can stand, right? The thigh is the place where all the rabbis say the same thing. This is representing towards the end of time. We know this. Where people, sadly, so many Jews have assimilate and go off, which we've lost more Jews now since the Holocaust assimilation than the Holocaust, which is his own personal Holocaust, and we got lost. But at the same time, it's also the people that support Torah and people give Torah and they hold up the Torah. And the result, actually, in last week's parasha brings down in the orders of levels. You have Yisachar and Zevulun. Yisachar is the one that learns Torah. Zevulun is the one that supports Torah. The Arizal says that Zevulun is above Yisachar because supporting Torah allows people to learn Torah is above it. So we have that Yaakov is being attacked by this person. He's fighting with this person. But what happens? Vayizach LaShemesh, the sun comes out, the sun being light. And heals him, right? We're in the darkness of Hanukkah, we're in the darkness of the winter, but we know that there's gonna be a morning, there's gonna be redemption. So the fact that Jewish people for so many years could not only this be the light of the nation, but also when it's the darkest of the darkest times, they could light a menorah and realize that they're connecting to a light beyond them. Right, is the ultimate expression of love. It's the ultimate expression of that we're still here, that we believe in our connection. So if we tap into this, I think we tap into the lessons of the winter months versus the summer months, what we call the holidays of customs, the holidays of how God wants to have a relationship with us. I mean, it fits right into Purim, it fits into Lag BaOmer. All of these holidays are really built for what's called the gullus years, for the darkness years, right? And we yearn for the waiting of love. So then what we have is what's called the ultimate nace. Nace is a miracle. What's a nace? Nace is the same numerical value, the marchia, of the word. What happens? Something great. What happens? The world. Something happens. You say ma. What happened? Ma. Who says ma? The answer is Adonai, Hashem, God, my master. Right? Ma ad halof dalin nun yud is the same grammatical nes. You know what a nes is? A nes is an expression of when people say, "How did this happen?" Hashem. That's what a miracle is. That's a miracle, and that's the miracle. The ultimate miracle would be the ultimate miracle is to respond to Jewish people every time tragedy happens. But more so, the response of Hashem, and Hashem tells us that when you light the menorah, there's tremendous light that comes into this world. We don't have to eat in the house going outward, and yet still we could be the proper light unto the nation, and that the ultimate light unto the nation will be when Mashiach comes. Amen. Amen. Amen.